Psalm 23. You might want to just read along with me. Many of you have committed to memory. Let's say it together. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Our Father, we pray you add thy blessing to the reading of your word. Cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. Help me be a blessing. Use the Bible tonight to meet our needs. We love you because you first loved us. Now, God, take this night and sanctify. We're not here by chance, but by your divine choosing. Tonight is not a coincidence. It's not come up in a lucky fashion. You've ordained it and purposed it and seen it. And you have protected us and allowed us to enter under this tabernacle under the sound of the precious word of God. So use it tonight. Help us, Lord. Bind the devil. Put a hedge of protection about this place. We know he doesn't like what we're doing, and frankly, we don't like him. So God, may your greatness overshadow his evil tonight. And when we leave here, for everything that's done, we promise to give you all the praise and honor and glory that's due your holy name. For it's in Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. There are more than 500 references to sheep in the Bible. Sheep represented chief wealth, livelihood of people. They provided food to eat, wool to make clothing, and covering for tents. Sheep were also a medium of exchange and a source of sacrifices. Valuable were sheep. But as valuable as sheep have always been, their very nature is gentle and submissive. Hear me now, sheep are gullible. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before the shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. But I was like a lamb or as an ox that is brought to the slaughter, and I know not that they had devised devices against me. The scripture is depicting a sheep getting ready to be slaughtered, and he doesn't have a clue. They are defenseless. Micah 5:8 says, the remnant of Jacob shall be among the Gentiles in the midst of a people as a lion among the beasts of the forest, as a young lion among the flocks of the sheep, who if he go through, both treadeth down and teareth in pieces, and none can deliver. Matthew 10 says, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Now listen now, they're not only depicted as gullible, but they are depicted as defenseless. In other words, they don't know they're going to be slaughtered, nor can they defend themselves. They're in constant need of guidance and care, which may go out before them, and which may go in before them, and which may lead them out, which may bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord be not as sheep which have no shepherd. Matthew 9 said they fainted and scattered abroad as sheep that have no shepherd. Isaiah said, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to our own way. The Lord have laid on him the iniquity of us all. Sheep are not intelligent. As the songwriter said, they're prone to wander. They must be guided. They must be led. They must be defended. They must be sheltered. They must be looked out for. They must be watched. Hear me now. They need a shepherd. David was a shepherd. His job was to watch the sheep. If anyone was familiar with sheep being gullible, David was. If anyone was familiar with sheep being defenseless, David was. You remember he told Saul, a bear came after my sheep, I took care of him. A lion came after my sheep, I took care of him. Now this big fat head giant that's mocking my God. Well, it didn't say fat head, but I'm preaching this message. This big giant that's up there named Goliath that's mocking my God, I'm going to take care of him too. David knew that he had to watch the sheep. We find in the New Testament, if one sheep is lost, the shepherd will leave the 99 and go for for the one sheep. Why? Because that sheep is not going to be able to take care of itself. Listen to me. David knew the sheep was gullible. David knew the sheep was defenseless. David knew the sheep was in constant need of guidance and care. David knew the sheep wasn't intelligent. David knew the sheep was prone to wander. David knew the sheep needed to be guided, needed to be led, needed to be defended, needed to be sheltered, needed to be looked out for, needed to be watched. David understood that the sheep needed a shepherd. But in Psalm 23, David's not talking about the sheep that needed a shepherd. He's calling himself a sheep. And just as the animals that he protected every single day needed a shepherd, David knew he was a sheep that needed a shepherd. David knew that we are sheep that need a shepherd. Now let's just pause tonight and let's just admit to God before the message even gets good that we are gullible. Say amen. Let me tell you something. We are being led to the slaughter and don't even know it. Oftentimes we're being destroyed and don't even know it. We're under attack and don't even know it. We are defenseless. We can't take care of ourselves. Listen to me. We can arm ourselves. We can study as much as we can. We can do everything we can to make ourselves successful. But nothing puts us off limits from the attack and from the onslaught of the enemy, the world, the flesh, and the devil all around us. We're defenseless. We're gullible. And listen, we're in constant need of guidance and care. Raise your hand if you need guidance and care. I know I do. I'm prone to wander. I'm not intelligent. I need to be guided. I need to be led. I need to be defended. I need to be sheltered. I need to be looked out for. I need to be watched. The longer I live, the more I begin to realize how much I need somebody looking out for me. Well, I want to tell you, I got on the road yesterday and left Washington, D.C., drove halfway, got up this morning and came the rest of the way. Entered another time zone. Phone service wasn't that great. Pulled up here on Mission Avenue, Mission Drive, and here tonight at Mission Point, at this beautiful place that God has created, to tell you, not only do you need a shepherd, not only do you have to have a shepherd, not only are you gullible, defenseless, and in constant need of care, but I came to tell you on the authority of the Word of God, not only do you need a shepherd, you have a shepherd. Come on now. I open my Bible tonight and I find the psalmist, who himself was a shepherd, reminding us that we are not in this life alone. We are not in this battle by ourselves. We are not facing the devil out on a limb. Listen to me. I'm not left up to my own devices. I don't have to trust in the arm of flesh. I don't have to lean on my wife or lean on my kids or lean on my church to get me out of every problem. Listen to me. We have a shepherd. But notice what he said in Psalm 23. Not my mama, not my preacher, not my friend, not the president. Watch this now. The Lord is my shepherd. I said the Lord is my shepherd. If you believe that tonight, say amen. He didn't say any Lord. He said the Lord. He's talking about Jehovah, the one who put the stars in place and the moon in space, the sun hanging up on nothing and it never falls down. The one who took from the dust of the ground and formed man and breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life and man became a living soul. The one who wasn't created but did the creating, the omnipotent, all-powerful, omniscient, all-knowing, omnipresent, ever at the same time, the immutable, unchangeable, the eternal, was, is, and is to come, the holy, righteous, pure, just, loving, true God, who's altogether lovely, the author of the Bible, the author and the finisher of our faith. I'm talking about the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, not Muhammad, not Buddha, not Mary, not the Pope, not a cow that used to be my grandma. No, 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 no. I'm talking about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords with all power in his hands. I'm talking about Jesus, the lovely Son of God, the King of knowledge, the doorway of deliverance, the pathway of peace, the highway of holiness, the gateway of glory, the master of the matter, the leader, the legislators, the overseer of overcomers, the governor of governors, the prince of princes, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords. The one they sang about that died and rose again. The one who's going to don the clouds one day and take us all to heaven. The one who we will forever worship, forever and ever and ever and ever. The one whose kingdom will have no end. Listen to me. He's not just the one I pray to. He's not just the one on the cross around the neck. He's not just the one with red letters in the Bible. He's not just the one that we call on when we get into trouble. He's not just a bailout plan. He's not a prefix to cuss words. He's not a butler you ring the bell for you when you get thirsty. No, David, under inspiration of the Holy Ghost of God, said, "The Lord is my shepherd." He's my shepherd tonight. Oh, how I need him. And oh, how I have him. What does that mean tonight? Because, you know, the world is bombarding us with so many difficulties, so many trials and so many frailties. And we're so wounded with fear and anxiety. We're so worried about tomorrow and we're so discouraged about yesterday that we can't concentrate on today. But I'm here to tell you, not only did he take care of tomorrow, not only has he already taken care of yesterday, not only will he take care of now, he'll take care of everything because he's the shepherd. Amen. Now, what does that mean? He's my shepherd. First of all, I have complete satisfaction. Will you say that with me? Complete satisfaction. Listen to David. I shall not want. Wait a minute now. If you're wanting for something, you've forgotten who your shepherd is. I said, if you're wanting for something, you've forgotten who your shepherd is. Why does the shepherd make sure I shall not want? He has inherent sensitivity. In other words, he knows what I need. He's my infinite source. He can give me what I need. David said, I shall not want. Listen to me now. The world will give you and give you and give you, and you'll still be desiring. Your flesh will take and take and take and still be desiring. Listen to me. The enemy will put things on a silver platter and you'll still be desiring. But aren't you glad tonight you got a shepherd? I said you have a shepherd who'll take care of you and give you what you want. I look at all of the people that are contemplating suicide and all of the people who are discouraged and in despair. We don't make light of them. We don't belittle them. We don't dismiss their needs. But oh, if they could just meet the shepherd. If they could just meet the shepherd. Well, Josh, can you hear me good? I feel like I'm... Are you hearing me good? Can I hear me a little bit better? That will help me not wind down a little too. If you can give me a little bit more in the whatever them black things are. Amen. Glory to God. I can call them black things and not be called a racist. Hallelujah. Amen. He's my shepherd, and I shall not want. Oh, if the hurting souls could just meet the shepherd. Oh, if the orphans could just meet the shepherd. Oh, if the wife who's going through a difficult marriage could just meet the shepherd. Oh, if the teenager who's contemplating suicide could just meet the shepherd. Oh, if the drunkard could know that what the bottle can't do, the shepherd will do. Oh, if the drug addict could know what getting high can't do, the shepherd would do. Oh, if that one that's looking for fame and fortune and trying to garner it in riches would know that the shepherd could do. Listen to me. Nobody satisfies like the shepherd does. The Lord is my shepherd. Complete satisfaction. Number two, the Lord is my shepherd. Controlled supply. Look at verse number two. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. This is what I call divine placement. Aren't you glad the shepherd knows where to put you? don't act holy tonight. He needs to know where to put us because we don't know where to put ourselves. He maketh me to lie down. I said he maketh me to lie down. Jackson came home today talking about what the coach made them do. Is your coach here tonight, Jackson? Where's the coach at? Hey, coach, I want you to know you got a player that gossips about you when he gets in the car. And whatever you did to him in practice, you ought to do twice as much tomorrow. I guess he was talking about running all them suicides up and down. And the coach is doing that not just because he wants the players to be miserable. The coach is doing that so in the fourth quarter, when everybody else is tired, his team can keep running. Now watch this now. Now the coach is pretty good at knowing what to do, but the coach can't shake a stick at the shepherd. Come on now. Aren't you glad he maketh me to lie down in green pastures? What does he do? He gives me a purposeful downtime. He maketh me to lie down. Now, one of the things I've had to learn in the last 18 months is to know when to lie down. I don't like to lie down. I like to go, 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 go. But God gave me a wife that has taught me to lie down. And for months when I got out of the hospital, I didn't have a choice. She's coming up and down those steps and bringing me my food and walking me to the shower and bathing me and making sure I wasn't out of breath and rocking me to sleep when I was anxious. And she was telling me, son, you need, son. She might have. I would have answered, yes, mama. She was telling me, honey, you need to lie down. See, if we're not careful, beloved, we'll be so busy being Martha that we don't know how to be Mary. Somebody help me preach. He maketh me to lie down. He make. Let me tell you something. The shepherd wants you to learn how to rest. The shepherd wants you to learn how to rest. Some of you have come tonight bearing heavy burdens. Some of you have come tonight going through so much stress. Some of you have been tossing and turning because you know why? You think you have to handle your problem. Listen to me. You hang with the shepherd long enough, he'll teach you how to lie down. He gives you a purposeful downtime. He gives you a proper diet. He making me lie down. Watch this now. In green pastures. You know what? He knows how to set me up in a place where there's plenty to eat. Aren't you glad for green pastures? You know what these green pastures are? This precious word of God. Come on now. Aren't you glad it's green over here? I said it's green over here. When the world gets dry and what the devil tries to offer you runs out. And when the grocery stores, I went to the grocery store a couple months back and I went to the butcher. I said, there's a problem here. There are fewer chicken wings in this package, but the price has gone up. I got a problem with that. Now, if I used to have 12 and I have 10 and my price is going up, you done hit me twice. Not only am I getting less, but I'm paying more. Ain't how the world does you. It'll give you less and charge you more. But I'll tell you something about the shepherd. He always feeds you with a smorgasbord. Listen to me. Listen. The Bible is not a piece of chicken that you get on a toothpick when you walk through the mall at that restaurant. Listen to me. The Bible is a smorgasbord. It's all you can eat. It's a buffet. It's fill up your plate, eat all you can, and come back for more. Aren't you glad he makes me to lie down in green pastures? I wouldn't have made it the last 18 months unless I knew that every morning I could meet the shepherd in green pastures, and there was something for me in the Bible. Matter of fact, I was getting up reading this morning and I was amazed that in my reading this morning, I was in Leviticus chapter number 25. And guess what I was reading about? The year of the Jubilee. And I thought, ain't that something? I'm headed to Jubilee tonight. And God wanted to remind me of everything that you lost. God can give it back to you. Everything the devil's taken from you, God can give back to you. Listen to the shepherd when he wants you to slow down. Don't get too busy you can't read your Bible. Don't get too busy you can't walk with God. Don't get too busy that you can't spend time with Jesus. The work will be there. The job will be there. The people will be there. But they'll never give you what the shepherd does. He gives you divine placement. He gives you directed pleasure beside the still waters. Not the rapid water. Not the raging water. Not the rumbling water, but the still waters. Aren't you glad that the shepherd knows how to give you peace? Now I've told people that peace is something that pastors all understand. Peace is something Walmart doesn't sell. Listen to me. Peace is something that Target doesn't have. Peace is something that eBay can't send you. And peace is something that Amazon, even if you have Prime, can't deliver. Now somebody said, how you know they don't have peace at Amazon Prime? I'll tell you why. They've never delivered it to my house, and we get a delivery every day from Amazon. So if they had it, we'd have it by now. Aren't you glad that what Walmart doesn't sell and what eBay can't list and what Amazon Prime can't deliver, that God gives, that he manufactures, he leadeth me beside the still waters. I wonder how many of you tonight need to lie down beside the still waters for God to remind you, I'm still in control. I still know what I'm doing. I'm still in charge. The Lord is my shepherd. Complete satisfaction. The Lord is my shepherd. Controlled supply. Number three, the Lord is my shepherd. Contributed strength. He restoreth my soul. Back in 2015, my brother went into VFib. And we were away on a couple's retreat. He felt something funny. We called the paramedics. We were at Cheesecake Factory. Here came the paramedics. They put him in the back of the ambulance, and he was there. And I rode past the ambulance, and I said to the paramedics, how's he doing? He said, his heart is beating at 270 beats a minute. We're going to take him to the hospital. Off the hospital we went. My wife and I were sitting there. A couple other couples were sitting with us, and they were taking a while to come out. I said, honey, I'm going to go to the back and find out what's going on. She said, they might not let you back there. I said, well, if I can't get back there because I'm his brother, they better let me back there because I'm his pastor. You got to know what card to pull. Amen. They let me back. There were doctors gathered all around him. And I heard the doctor say, sir, your heart is beating so fast, we have to shock it. Our intention to shock it is to get it back on rhythm, but there's a chance that we shock it and it stops. And they put those paddles on him and they shocked him, and he bounced up off my brother's big guy. He bounced up off of that bed and fell back down. And then I saw, like I was watching a TV show, it flatlined. And all of a sudden, they started gathering around him and started pumping his heart. The next thing you know, they took me and his wife, my sister-in-law, and they whisked us out of the room. And they said, you have to stand out here. And I stood outside with my arm around her, while they were in there pumping. They closed the door, and every couple of minutes, the nurse came out and said, "We still don't have a pulse." And she'd go back in there, and a couple of minutes later, she'd come out again and say, "We still don't have a pulse." We started praying. I remember texting my wife out that waiting room, "You've got to pray." And I remember texting my parents, "You need to get up here fast." They were staying at the hotel where the retreat was. For 26 and a half minutes, those medical professionals pumped my brother. They told us they normally don't even pump for that long. I have to hope, I have to believe that they saw us standing out there, and our prayers told them to keep on trying, keep on trying. Their family members begging for God to do something. And after 26 and a half minutes, she came out of that room, and I'll never forget, she said, "We have a pulse." It was like something that I'd never heard before. It was like he was dead and he was alive again. And I don't have the time to tell you everything that's happened in those last 6 years. And he's been back in the hospital. He's been back into AFib, and they've had to do another thing where they had to shock it again and get him back on rhythm. And I can't tell you how he feels so terribly and so anxious when his heart's not beating in the right rhythm, because there's a rhythm that God has our hearts designed to beat. And when we're not beating in the right rhythm, nothing feels right. I wonder how many you can tell spiritually when your heart's not beating in the right rhythm. Your prayers don't seem to be getting answered, and it seems like the devil and all of his demons are attacking you, and one thing goes wrong after another, and it feels like dominoes that are falling down, and you can't get a break, and you wake up every day and say, "God, I want this to be gone," and it's not gone, and something else goes wrong, and the doctors don't have the answer, and friends don't seem to understand, and you carry those burdens all by yourself, and that heart just doesn't seem to beat right. Well, notice what David said. "He restoreth my soul." He gets me back on rhythm again. Somebody ought to stop and praise him tonight, because he knows how to get you beating on rhythm again. Hang in there, beloved. Keep on praying. Keep on striving. Keep on trusting. He's going to restore your soul. I don't believe the devil. He's a liar. He didn't pick up lying from somebody else. He got lying started. He's the father of lies. He's a murderer, and he has been that from the beginning. But my Jesus said he's the way, he's the truth, and he's the life, and he can restore your soul. And somebody that's weary, and somebody that's wounded, and somebody that's worried tonight has to remember tonight, he restores your soul. Notice, through his timely correction, through his thorough cleansing, through his tender compassion, he will restore your soul. If you're here tonight, and by the way, you young people that are here tonight, we don't take for granted that your life is always fine and your life is always great. We've got young people tonight that are carrying burdens. There could be people in here tonight that are struggling with anxiety, battling suicide, tough situations that you're facing that nobody can fix. Don't you count the shepherd out. David said, "The Lord is my shepherd, and he will restore my soul. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. The trying of your faith worketh patience, so let patience have her perfect work in you, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, which give it to all men liberally and upbraid it not, and it shall be given him. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." Listen to me. I know the devil walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, but you submit yourself therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. I know in whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. For God hath given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. I'm here to tell you that the Bible is true, that God is not a liar, that he never changes. And even though it seems like it's never going to happen, and he's never coming through, and it seems like he's forgotten about you, David said, "He restoreth my soul." Let me give you one more, and I'm going to quit and I'll finish tomorrow. His complete satisfaction. Controlled supply. Contributed strength, capable supervision. Look at verse number 3. "He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." I don't know about you. I need somebody capable to follow. We all know people right now who are ruining their lives because they got in the wrong line. Come on. And every single one of us knows what it's like to make bad decisions because we were in the wrong line. Listen to what David said. He leadeth me. Genesis 24, Abraham needed a wife for Isaac. He slated his eldest servant to go find his son a wife. That servant agreed, put his hand under Isaac's thigh, swore to get the job done. Can you imagine? I imagine it happened something like this. Yes, Master Abraham, I hear you. Right. Isaac needs a wife. Right. It's got to be from your homeland. Right. She's got to come back. Isaac is not going there. And probably a few other side notes. And make sure the girl look nice too. All right. Because I need good looking grandkids. Amen. And listen to me. You need to do it in a timely manner and no pressure, but Isaac is the promised seed, and through him, I'm going to be multiplied, and the nation of Israel is going to be birthed from my loins. No pressure at all, but the rest of the Old Testament, the New Testament, and all of history is resting on your shoulders, but no pressure at all. And here goes this servant looking at master saying, yes, I heard you, exactly what you said. I've got to go this, I got to do that. I promise I'll get it right. And as soon as he left the house, he probably said, I said yes, I promise, I agreed to it. I don't have a clue I'm going to pull this off. Have you ever signed on to something? You know how you're going to do it? I do it every single day. How am I going to live this Christian life? How am I going to be a father? How am I going to be a husband? 5811 Hoffman's Lane, Bayless Crossroads, Virginia. The place where the church called Crossroads Baptist Church gathers three times a week in Northern Virginia, 3 miles south of the Pentagon. And the daunting task that I have, not as a motivational speaker, not as just some coach, not as just some guy that gets up there, but the daunting task that I have to lead the flock of God at Crossroads Baptist Church, that's why it matters to me when I get behind this pulpit that I'm not just dropping some sermon from a briefcase or something I Googled online because I was too lazy to study. No, people's livelihoods depend on this. People are going to get up tomorrow and live their lives and make decisions that eternity will secure. They need a preacher who's gotten a word from the Lord. Listen to me, my friend. It's so important. And we get up every single day with these daunting tasks. And here was this servant. I've got to get this right. He had no clue. But in chapter 24, verse 27, he said, I, being in the way, the Lord led me. Can you imagine the phenomenon of making the statement, the Lord led me? Listen to David. He leadeth me in these last days. I don't know when the trumpet's going to sound, but I feel like somewhere the angel is warming up. I feel like maybe tonight before I finish, the trumpet's going to sound and we're going to rise and get up out of here. I wouldn't mind it coming right now. But if he doesn't come tonight and he doesn't come tomorrow and he doesn't come in 2021, we've got to live right and obey God and fight this flesh and make decisions. And these young people have to live in a wicked, sin-sick world that is questioning absolutes and changing the definition of marriage and making them doubt and question everything we've taught them. This is a rough day to be a young person, a daunting task to be a parent, a tough task to find someone to marry, a tough task to lead a marriage in these last days. How in the world are we to make it when everybody's doing wrong and truth is falling in the streets? I'll tell you how we make it. We get in line behind the shepherd, because here's what David said. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness. I want you to hear David tonight. When I follow him, I do right. See, a man gets behind the shepherd and he loves his wife. A wife gets behind the shepherd and she follows her husband. Kids get behind the shepherd and they obey their parents. Young ladies get behind the shepherd and they keep themselves until they get married. Young men get behind the shepherd and they search for the right godly woman that God has for them. Listen to me now. Couples get behind the shepherd and they raise their children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Preachers get behind the shepherd and they lead their flocks according to the word of God. Listen to me. You can't follow your political candidate because he's human. You can't follow who sits in the White House because he's human. You can't follow your athletes and your movie stars and your favorite singers. Listen, I'm a pastor and I'm prone to wonder. I'm a human being. I'm a flawed man of God. I'll tell you when you can follow me. You can follow me if I'm following him. He leadeth me a righteous path for a rightful purpose. for his name's sake. That's not a big deal to you. It is to me. Because some people do right for their own name's sake. My preacher friends, not this one, but a whole bunch of them, have pressured me over the years to get on social media, you know. I've just never been on social. I've never had Facebook. I've never had Twitter and Instagram and Snapchat and whatever else. That's not right, honey. Snapchat? She's laughing at me. That's not right. Is that kids just do that? Tell me later. Okay, I can't. You got that mask on. All I see is your eyes saying, what did he just say? Anytime I mess up, I blame it on COVID. Well, whatever people have, I don't have it, you know. And one of the things that disgusts me, and if you have it, I don't have a problem with it. I just don't have it. But I hate to see preachers competing on social media. I want to tell you how many we had, how many we run, and what our church is doing, and what I'm doing. And let me take a picture of how great of a Christian I am. It's like one of those get up there and say, I have the gift of humility and I'm the most humble person I know. And yeah, you're the most ignorant person I know. God wants us doing right, but not for our sake. See, if something's happening at Crossroads Baptist Church for the glory of God, that's for his name's sake. If I preach a message tonight that blesses somebody, that's for his name's sake. God, get me out of this hospital bed. God, I couldn't. I thought while I was laying on that hospital, God, get me up out of here. God, get this COVID out of my lungs. Doctor, tell me I'm getting out. He said, I can't tell you. But God, there's a God in heaven who can go where the doctor can't go, who can do what the nurses can't do. God, let me out of this hospital bed so I can get back to that pulpit, not so I can preach to signed Bibles, not so I can get followers on social media, not so that I could get my name or more people asking me to do meetings, not so I can go to preach another Jubilee and get people watching. No. Let me do right for thy name's sake. Listen to David. Saul, let me at him. Let me at him. Oh, you but a youth. Yeah, I'm a youth. But you don't know my God like I do. I killed that lion. I killed that bear. And I'm going to take this slingshot. Look at that little boy, that ruddy little shepherd boy, getting ready to charge, old Goliath, swinging that slingshot. Hey, listen to me. You come with me in swords and staves, but I come to you in the name of Almighty God. And I love David said, I'm going to feed you to the birds. I'm going to feed you to the birds. And if he didn't been in 2021, you know what he said? I'm going to knock you out so that I could preach at the next great fundamental independent Baptist conference. I'm going to knock you out so everybody's going to know who I am. I'm going to knock you out so more people will come to my church. I'm going to knock you out so I'll get my name on more flyers. That's why we got young men that are surrendering to be well known instead of surrendering to preach. Don't surrender to get your name known. Surrender to make his name known. David said, I'm going to kill you, Goliath, but I'm not going to kill you for me. Listen to me. I'm going to kill you that all the earth may know that there is a God in heaven. Listen to me. They're drowning him out of government. They're drowning him out of the schools. They're drowning him out of everywhere. Nobody wants to hear the name Jesus lifted up anymore. Listen to me. You can march down in downtown about why they're doing that and do it if you need to. But I'll give you a better suggestion. Go live Jesus on your job. Go live Jesus in your school. Go live Jesus in your home. Go live Jesus in your neighborhood. Show the world while everybody's doing wrong that you can do right. Show the world while marriages are falling apart that yours can not only survive but thrive. Show the world while young people are drowning in rebellion and immorality and sin sickness that you can be a young person that does right. And when you do right, just remember this thing, you're doing right for his name's sake. Somebody needs to know about our shepherd. David said, I'm gullible. I'm defenseless. I'm in constant need of care. I'm unintelligent and I'm prone to wonder. Oh, how I need a shepherd. And I'm glad I can join David tonight and say, the Lord is my shepherd. Our Father, we come to you tonight. Thanking you for being our shepherd. Your heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Could I ask you tonight, have you forgotten about your shepherd? Everybody's carrying a burden tonight. How many say, Pastor, I know for sure if I died tonight, I'd go to heaven. Would you raise your hand? I know I'm saved. Put your hands down. Now, of you that just raised your hand, let's be honest. My hand's going up. Let's be honest. How many say, I know I'm saved, but I tell you, right here, right now, tonight, I need my shepherd. All over the building, would you put your hand up? I need my shepherd. I'm going through something. I'm carrying a burden. I need my shepherd. Hey, let me tell you something. He didn't say the Lord was. He didn't say the Lord will be. That the Lord is. Maybe you're trying too hard to do it on your own. Hey, listen to me. You try to figure it out by yourself, you're going to stress yourself out. Follow the shepherd. I wonder if there's anyone here tonight say, Pastor, I'm not sure if I died tonight, I'd go to heaven, but I'm sure I don't want to go to hell. Anybody like that? I'm not sure if I die tonight, I'd go to heaven, but I'm absolutely sure I don't want to go to hell. If that's you, would you raise your hand all over the building? Anybody? I just want to pray for you. I'm not sure if I die tonight, I'd go to heaven, but I'm sure I don't want to go to hell. Anybody like that? Anyone? Anyone at all? Now, in just a moment, I'm going to invite this tabernacle of people to come to an old-fashioned altar and have a renewed commitment to the shepherd. Listen, folks, I'm convinced that the dynamic of Christianity is going to become so challenging in these last days that only the strong will survive. Listen, you can't lose your salvation. It's theologically impossible, but you can lose your joy. You got to follow the shepherd. In just a moment, I'm going to invite every person to put your hand up tonight to come kneel or to come stand and just say, I needed to be reminded tonight that the Lord is my shepherd. I'm going to get in line behind him. Let's stand all over the tabernacle. Would you stand, Father? Would you orchestrate this invitation like only you can? In Jesus' name, amen.